been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation worldwide, to The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. It is Purple Friday, and we actually have a game this week. It's not a bye week anymore, guys. I know you missed football as much as I did last week, but here we are, Purple Friday, and we're here to review the next game. Joining me, as always, Josh. What's going on, man?
Brandon, it's good to be back. Bye week. How was your bye week, man?
You know what? It was a little busy, but I missed the show. I'm glad we're back here and we're able to talk a little bit. And here we go. We got football to talk about. It's the Ravens and the Jaguars this Sunday. Big news, though. I mean, even before we start this, Dennis Pitta came out. John Harbaugh came out and they said that Dennis Pitta will not be playing this season in any way due to doctor's orders. They said he's just not healthy enough. He's tried real hard, but just because of those injuries stacking up, he won't be playing. So, Josh, what are your thoughts on this? Obviously, this dude has to do what's right for him and right for his family and right for his health. But you got to feel for the guy because this kind of sucks for him. He did try hard to get back on this team.
He did, man, and we talked about this a few shows back, and I remember we were talking. I was like, I don't think he'll be in. I don't think they're going to shut him down, or I think they're going to shut him down because it's a risk. I mean, if we were in a prime position for the top three seeds at AFC and gunning for it, I still think we would have shut him down at that point. We got two viable tight ends, Nick Boyle. We have Crockett Gilmore. We have Max Williams as the third option, so I don't think it was worth the risk, worth his health to really do something like that. So I really like the idea. It just really sucks for Pitta, for his family, for our team, the organization, because, you know, the dude's a bona fide stud, man. I mean, he carried us through, you know, through the playoff run. He made some key plays. He caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl. He was Joe Flacco's go-to guy other than Anquan in those runs. So We missed number 88 on the field, off the field. It's only be missed, and who knows what his future is with the organization. Who knows if he's going to remain under contract for a lesser contract, and we're going to bring him back, being that we have Gilmore and Max Williams. We're not even sure at this point.
Yeah, you know, you do feel for the guy, but this season he's not playing at all. You got to look now. Even people have asked him, and he's shot down anything. You got to think about retirement. Is this guy going to be ever? Is he ever going to be able to play football again? He said that's still his goal. He still wants to play football, so he's hoping for next season. But personally, I mean, to come back from one hip injury is pretty miraculous. To come back from two, that's pretty unheard of. He's trying. I mean, you got to give the guy credit for the heart he's got, but I got to imagine that his playing days are over, and I'm sure that's right. Going to be a hard pill to swallow for him. But again, you got to do what's right for you and your health and your family and everything like that. This is still a job to those guys. It's football to us, but it's a job to them, and you got to do what's right by that job. So what do you think? Do you think we've seen the last of Dennis Pitta, or do you think he somehow comes back next year?
I think if you gave me an early prediction right now, I say he comes back only because I just think that this organization's not done with him yet. But again, it's really hard to say because of, you know, who we have. I mean, we have Gilmore, we have Nick Boyle, and we have Max Williams. And, you know, if you look at the I-Man now, I mean, we drafted Boyle and Williams. You know, Gilmore has been great. Who knows, we might let Gilmore back, but with Gilmore, he's a young stud. He's coming up and in the second, third year, respectively. So, and with Pitt in the journeyman, he was going intent during his prime, but who knows with the injuries, how he really, you know, approaches the game now. Maybe it's past his prime. Who knows? So, early stages, I say we do welcome him back in some role, but I wouldn't be surprised if this is the end for Pitt as a Raven.
Yeah, and who knows, maybe he becomes a coach in some way, maybe he becomes a part of this team in a different way, but only time will tell. We wish him nothing but the best, and we hope he gets what's best for him and for his family, his health, his body. You know, we hope everything goes the way it should for him. But let's talk about this game on Sunday. It should be a good one. I thought this was kind of interesting. The depth chart came out for this game coming up on Sunday, and Chris Givens is listed as a starting wide receiver before Marlon Brown and Jeremy Bross. Chris Givens, he came in at a trade from the St. Louis, and he's kind of proven that he has that Ravens mentality. He's playing really hard. He's definitely showing up the other guys. What's your thoughts on Chris Givens getting the starting wide receiver spot?
I think he deserves it, man. I mean, Marlon Brown shouldn't even be sniffing the starting lineup, let alone an NFL starting squad, even on our squad. He just ain't performing, dude. So I like the Chris Givens. I mean, Chris Givens hasn't really performed since he's been up, but he hasn't really had the time to or the spots. So I'm very quizzical on why Jeremy Ross isn't in the mix. I mean, because we're already down a few soldiers here, and we need all help we can get. But here's the thing: we did sign a Joe Morgan in the week of our bye week. So welcome Joe Morgan for all. I mean, it's old news at this point, but he's a former Saints wide receiver. I know we had open tryouts. We had Nakeem Nicks tryout too, and so you would figure it's Joe Morgan, it's Kamar Egan, and it's Chris Givens as the top three.
And who would have ever thought Chris Givens? I mean, that wasn't really a name anybody knew. Obviously, the Rams didn't have a lot to say about the guy because they let him go in a trade. But I was reading this ESPN article earlier, and it says that Chris Givens already has as many yards receiving with Baltimore, 106, as Marlon Brown. And Marlon Brown played in Givens has played in half the number of games Marlon Brown has. Marlon Brown's definitely he's definitely fallen from grace with everybody. What a rookie season he had 2 years ago. Last year didn't do him any favors. This year he's looking just terrible. I mean, he's definitely regressed very, very poorly. But it opens up the door for a guy like Chris Givens, who I don't know about you. Let's kind of talk about what he's brought to this team so far. He's definitely seems as if he's got a connection with Joe Flacco. Joe definitely trusts them, and he's fast. You know, I think Chris Givens' speed goes well with Flacco's throwing arm. It's a very strong throw that he has, and the two of them gel together, and Givens stretches that field, something that we're missing ever since Torrey Smith left, and with Rashad Perriman possibly not even playing at all this year.
Yeah, man. I mean, if you look at the scope of it, Brandon, it hasn't really panned out quite the way we thought, hasn't it?
I think that's one way to say it. I think completely the opposite of what we were expecting this whole season.
I mean, everybody has that. I mean, who'd have thought that we would have been at this point, you know, talking, you know, a Chris Givens signing, a Joe Morgan signing. You're like, who are these guys? And Kamar Egan even sniffing the starting role, and Dennis Pitta being out with the injury. It's just a lot of things to take in, and a lot of starting jobs being taken and being vacant, and it. And this hurts, and you wonder why we're 2-6. It's not a let alone execution, but overcoming injuries. I mean, you can only go so far, but these injuries are getting too much to overcome. I mean, Suggs, you got, you know, Dennis Pitta, you have Steve Smith, you have Breshard Perryman even, man. So it's just like you can just count on, you know, we drafted Perryman, and he ain't even starting, let alone hasn't even sniffed, you know, one workout, and he got hurt in. So, it's just disappointing. But I think what you have to do is just got to go, hey, you hate to be the next man up mantra, but that's what it is. And what has to happen is right now you just got to put the best 53 men out there and basically move forward. And yeah, this team is going to do it. And speaking of that, they have been adamant, and Joe Flacco has been the leader, and John Harbaugh's been stepping on the podium saying, we're not shy of running the table. And speaking of going into the coming off the bye week into the second half of the year, the Ravens fully believe they can run the table and go 8-0. You know, yeah, you can laugh at that, but I mean, we understand miracles happen from above, and I think that the Ravens Super Bowl run was just destined. I mean, you know, the Mahi miracle and the 4th and 29 play, two improbable plays that happened. We were 30 seconds away from losing in the playoffs, and we won. So, and things happen. Things happen for a reason. And who's this? But Joe Flacco needs to be the leader and step up. And I think he's going to do that in the second half. And I think John Harbaugh is getting his team to buy in, saying, and I don't know if you heard this press conference this week, Brandon, but it was great because he was basically scoffed at by the media. But John Harbaugh was up there with, you know, all the pride, and he was like, we're going to do it. And he was bringing up scenarios of Ali and this, this, and that. And he was like, you doubt, but watch. And all starts is one game. And they got the next two at home and then another away game. So, and then a divisional game at that. So, two out of the next three opponents are AFC, two out of the next three at home. But it all starts this weekend. And you got to do one step at a time, man, one win at a time. And if you look, I don't know if you got a chance to look, Brandon, if you look at the AFC, you know, we're two games out of the wild card right now.
Yeah, you know,
this, two and a half, maybe three at most.
Yeah, if the Ravens are able to come away with a win on this game, they kind of take a baby step towards possibly making the wild card. But if they lose this game, it's as if every game upcoming now is a part of the playoffs, because if they lose this game, it is a giant step in the wrong direction. But if they win, it's definitely like a baby step going the other way.
Well, and they put the odds out there. I mean, everybody's like, oh, you have a better chance of doing this and doing that versus the Ravens make the playoffs. But I don't go by odds because, you know, odds are things happen for a reason. So I think with this team, you're right. If they can win one game and then let's say if they win two in a row and they're 4-6 suddenly, then you go, okay, maybe they can pull it off with two straight home wins. And if they can start winning now at the end of the year, 9-7, maybe even 8-8 might get it done. Because, yeah, the only thing that sucks as you look at it is the Raiders are 4-4, two games ahead of the Ravens. They're in the mix for the wild card right now with a four-team race right there. And if you look at it, that would suck if the Ravens tied them some miraculously crazy thing at the end of the year because the Raiders hold the tiebreaker. But we've already beat Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's faltering because they've had a rash of injuries themselves, with Bell being out for the year and Big Ben going down again for the next couple weeks. So we're not the only ones battling injuries, man. I mean, it's happening to our foe over there in Pittsburgh. So if they can slip up and we can win a few games, they can lose. And if we beat them in September or December here in a Sunday night game, hopefully that game stands and has, if we're talking playoff implications on that Sunday night game, who'd have thought? But again, who's to say? I mean, if you look at the Chargers have lost five in a row. How many games have we lost? I mean, if you can go on that kind of skid, who's to say you can't win them all? I mean, the Bengals are 8-0, the Patriots are 8-0, and the Panthers are 8-0. So, hey, if they can win the first eight games, who's to say we can't win our last eight? Because are they better than us? They might be, but they're winning games. And we barely won a couple, and we should have won another handful. We could have been four or five wins right now. So I'm confident.
I mean, we talked about this when we first got the schedule, about how hard this beginning of the season was going to be, and how the Ravens being at home a lot in November, December was a good thing because the Ravens play better later on in the year. I do want to bring this up, though. You know, we're talking about seeing the Steelers in a couple weeks. Did you see Jacoby Jones sporting his new Steelers uniform? Because that was an odd thing to see. I understand players come and go from teams or whatever, but to see somebody that's so important to the history of this team then wearing Steeler colors as a fan, that was a little weird.
It's weird, but you're right, it happens. I'm not making it as big of a deal as I should be. Everybody's always, oh, but it's not like he like bolted like the year after Super Bowl and went to the Steelers. It was like, I mean, he's a free agent, and you know, obviously they're hurting the Nini players, and it is weird. It's funny to look at, but it doesn't change the fact that I have the Mile High Miracle picture signed. I have the Super Bowl return. He's a part of Ravens history forever, no matter if you. But you're right, it is a little weird because it doesn't distort it, because it's like, oh, well, he's a Steeler, it discounts that. No, because you have to appreciate that. It makes it fun. And now look at this. How about Packers fans when Brett Favre goes to the rival Minnesota Vikings? It's the same thing.
Well,
not on that magnitude. You can't compare that, but it's basically looking at your player and like, hey, you're part of our team's history, then you're wearing the other team's colors.
Well, other our team's history, you got to think about this, also involving the Steelers. Remember that Thanksgiving game from a couple years ago?
Yep.
Jacoby Jones was running, and he gets blocked by the Steelers coach. Now, you can't tell me that wasn't brought up the first time that Jacoby came into that locker room or something. That's still on my mind. Could it still be on Jacoby or Coach Tomlin's mind, too?
That was something that was brought up in the media, and I'm not sure if it was or not. I never really got the full confirmation, man, but it wouldn't be surprised if they joked about it and laughed about it. And And speaking of history, me and you were at that infamous snow game at the Vikings came here, and Jacoby had that return to help score. So, and he's had a punt return against Pittsburgh. So he's had some epic moments here. And, you know, he actually, and remember the Jets game here a few years back, he blew the lid off the defense and beat Ed Reed when Ed Reed was playing with the Jets and scored a touchdown here in Baltimore. So it was great. It was great to really see. So he's a Steeler. It is what it is. I don't think it'll affect anything because he was ineffective in San Diego. So I don't think he's going to be effective in Pittsburgh either.
Gotcha. So let's talk. Let's stay on the offensive side of the ball for this show, for the preview here. You said you were talking about players that have left the team. How about by injury, Steve Smith Sr.? This is the first time he's going to be, or the first big chunk of time he's going to be missing when he got he hurt his Achilles in the last game. So he's out for the rest of the year. What does this do to the Ravens' offense? Maybe not for the year, just for this game. Obviously, there's a lot of question marks at the wide receiver position. Chris Givens, we just talked about. Kamar Aiken shows that he can do pretty well. But does Joe have the confidence that he can throw to those wide receivers, or do you see him now up against specifically this Jaguars team? Specifically, are they going to go to the running game and focus on that more?
No, I think they're going to go to the running game. I heard a lot more this past weeks, the bye week, these 2 weeks, that Forsett's going to be used a lot more. And you can't really rely on the passing game. And Joe Flacco isn't these other teams. You can't conform to the Patriots and what the Chargers are doing with Philip Rivers throwing it 50, 60 times a game. And you know, they're almost throwing it 68% of the time. You can't really do that. You have to look at saying, you know what? You have to play your own game. And I think for us to get it going, you got to run the pass. And I think we have to start run first, pass second, because if we pass first, we're going to be in big trouble, especially with the receivers we have. Chris Givens is unknown. He's starting now. I mean, he's been thrust into the starting, you know, offense, but it hasn't been in a starting role. Now you got Joe Morgan, you got Kamar Eakins being a bigger role, mm-hmm. you got these tight ends, so a lot more is going to focus on can Forsett go, and we've seen what happened last game. Forsett made some timely runs, and when we have second and short, we can't be just singing back and zinking the ball down the field. We need to, you know, line up in the power eye like we used to and say Forsett's going to run downhill, we're not afraid, and we're going to get the first down with our offensive line.
All right, so that'll be interesting to see what happens here on Sunday. What about some of our injured guys? You know, that I'm looking at an injury report here. You know, Jeremy Zuda, I don't think he was limited in practice. So do you see him potentially coming back to this lineup in this game? Same thing with Chris Canty. He was on the injury report. Do you see these guys being able to play on Sunday?
I think so. I mean, it's really hard to determine at this point because some of them are game time decisions, and sometimes they really put, you know, what the NFL does on the teams, they put the injury report out there for all to see, so they can really, you can really dive in and see what the injury report's going to report out. But at this point, I don't think Chris Canty might play. If not, he, you know, play limited. But with these questionables, usually these questionables turn into game time plays and they're active. But we need Zuda back. I mean, I don't know if John Ursula has been taking over. Excuse me, Brandon, the center duties. I'm really interested to see how the center position is going to pan out in the line, because run blocking is going to be a focal point, pass blocking. Joe Flacco can't be running for his life and throwing off his back foot. And that's what I see being a very integral part of the run game even getting going is seeing how the center handles it.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about defense here. You know, the Ravens used to be known for defense. But big question mark there. What are the Ravens going to have to do? There's a lot of talk about turnovers, about you know, the Ravens needing to do more of that. And the Jaguars are kind of known to lose the ball every once in a while, especially in some of the earlier games this year. Do you see the Ravens practicing that before this game to kind of pressure that quarterback as much as possible? What is the game plan for the defense here to make sure that they can strip that ball away as much as possible?
Well, that's the point is turnovers, and it's been talked about this week that the Ravens are tied for the league worst against, with the Cowboys at 4 of turnovers forced this season through the first 8 games, and they're on pace to have the worst in NFL history through the 16 game season right now. So, this Ravens defense, who used to be known for forcing the turnover, you know, stopping the run, making the other team one-dimensional, sinking back and ball hawking, and we know Ed Reed was known for that and a big focal point of that. So long are the days of that. So we have to get back to, you know, getting back to forcing turnovers. And John Harbaugh said it in his press conference this week, man. And he says, you know, he, I don't know if you heard this. Have you heard the Olive story?
Yes, yes, I have.
Yeah, he used that analogy again this week. And for all those who don't know it, basically John Harbaugh says you take a jar of olives, you open it, turn it upside down, and none of them fall out. But if you poke one, and they all start coming out, because he said all it takes is one, and then everything starts happening. It's a landslide. So it's always like you look at a mountain of rocks or an avalanche. The mountain looks sturdy, but you remove one rock, and the whole thing's going to start crumbling down. So it's the same thing. When one gets going, he goes, they're going to start falling. And the press conference, to sum it up, Jim Harbaugh, who we know went to the Michigan Wolverines this year, same thing happened. He said the same analogy to his team, and they forced a turnover in six straight games. So it's like and John Harbaugh went to say this in his press conference. He says a ball finds energy. And what we mean by that, he goes, when players are swarming around, he used the basketball analogy, which is my favorite. He's like, when you're setting a pick and roll, and you're, you know, constantly moving, and you set that pick and roll, and you drive to the basket, you're going to get the ball because you're on your way to score. You know, if you're on a fast breaking basketball and you're the first on the court, you're going to get the ball because you had the best chance to score. And his point was the ball finds energy. And when what the Ravens need to do is get back to that swarming defense. And when that happens, they create energy and they create the pressure and turnovers. And that's where the energy comes from. And that's where, especially in the stadium, when I really can't wait to be 70,000 strong again and root this team on Sunday and be very vocal. And who knows, maybe we'll find energy and we'll have another pick six or have a couple picks, and we'll see. I can't wait to get it going.
So last question I got for you here. The Ravens, usually you would see the Jacksonville Jaguars, no offense to them, you would see them on the schedule and you'd be like, all right, that's a Ravens win, no worries there, we're fine. But right now the Ravens and the Jags have the exact same record, 2-6. So obviously the Ravens coming off a bye week, they're a little bit more well rested. They've been able to address some of their problems. But with the Jags coming to town, I mean, nothing's really a guarantee. It's in football, it's any given Sunday, Monday, and now Thursday.
The Ravens and the Jags have the same record. And if we're trying to go for playoff hopes and being, hey, if we're 2.5 to 3 games out of the wild card, if we look at it that way, this is a must win. It's like a playoff game. But you look at the Jaguars' record in their division, the Jaguars are 2 games out of first place in their division, because with the Colts at 4 wins and the Texans at 3-5 on their bye week coming off, the Jaguars have plenty to play for, not alone, you know, knocking us off an AFC opponent and coming in here and being the road opponent and winning, but, they got their own tasks and goals in hand and trying to win their weak division. The AFC South is so weak, and with Andrew Luck being out for most of the year now, the Colts being in first place by half a game, hanging on by a thread, they're without their starting leader in Andrew Luck, and things can get pretty crazy in the AFC South. So the Jaguars do have something to play for. So it's not like we're 6-1 coming in here and they're 2-6 and we can't take them lightly. We're both record-wise, but we're both crappy teams, and they got some playmakers, and we need to look out for that.
Yeah, so the Jags are definitely not going to be a pushover. It's not going to be another easy week, another bye week. Just like every other game this season with the Ravens, it's probably going to come down to the wire, and it's going to be, you know, a back-and-forth game. I don't really see either team, you know, really taking a commanding lead. I feel as if it's going to be pretty even throughout the day.
Right. And I agree on that. And another thing on the lighter side of things, on the fantasy side, is I have a tough decision because I actually have Blake Bortles going in my fantasy team right now. But with talking turnovers and creating that energy, I just don't know. Because I'm thinking, you know how the Raiders have been on fire lately, right, Brandon?
Right.
Their offense has been clicking and it's sick. And Derek Carr, I have him in my one league, and Derek Carr has been good. I've been saying Derek Carr or Blake Bortles this week. But here's the thing, crunch it. The Ravens altogether, collectively in the league, have the 29th ranked pass defense out of 32 teams. And if you remember, and I was there in person to see it, the Ravens gave up 457 yards to a Josh McCown in Cleveland. So being as it may, for not only our breakdown, but for fantasy owners to really look at that, we've been pretty horrible against the pass. Forcing turnovers, not. And the scary thing is, if you're an opposing quarterback coming in here, the Ravens have forced 4 turnovers all year. They pretty much they got to Andy Dalton in that one game where it had the the fumble and all that, but and we lost the game accordingly. But you remember, we couldn't cover AJ Green. We couldn't cover the Browns receivers because we gave up 457 yards. How many times did, you know, the Cardinals receivers get loose? So, and we're giving up a lot of points. I mean, every game I look at, we're giving up 25 to 30 points a game. So I think this is going to be a shootout. And within regards, we're going to have to keep pace with their offense, because I think this is going to be another 20 to 25 game. It's going to be one of those games where long are the days of the teens, man. We're pushing high 20s and the 30s to trying to score points to win.
Yeah, and it's at least going to be exciting football, you know? I think we're going to be cheering, we're going to be booing, we're going to be doing a little bit of everything this coming Sunday. But, hey, it's Ravens football, and we wouldn't have it any other way. So, did we cover everything in this show?
Just before we get to that, I wanted to go over some of my itinerary, man.
Uh-oh.
We finally got our Miami trip down pat and booked. We got our tickets over the bye week. And we booked our hotel right on the beach in Miami.
Oh, very nice.
I saw the beach resort. It's sick. It's like one of these immaculate resorts. We're going to be staying, like, our rooms, like, literally, I don't know which room we have yet, but pretty much, like, we walk right outside our hotel, and we're on the beach.
That is awesome. That's a perfect way to spend December. That's the kind of Christmas you want to spend. Christmas in the sand sounds pretty good. You know what else we should talk about before we end up here? Please tell me that you heard Ray Lewis's new rap song.
It's a little interesting, isn't it? Oh, and I did watch the video, by the way, of the 20th anniversary. That was great.
Oh, wasn't it? Oh, I'm so glad you got to see that. That was
special. That was really special. I watched it a few times. That was a special tribute, man, and I'm really glad the Ravens put that out, man. That was something.
Yeah, and for anybody who hasn't seen it, what we're talking about is locally in Baltimore on Comcast Sportsnet and on Fox. There's a bunch of Ravens shows, and this was the Ravens Report. They did a special hour-long special on the 20 years of the Ravens, and they went over everything and talked to Jarrett Johnson and Ray Lewis and Joe Flacco and Jamal Lewis and Matt Stover. I mean, anyone that's been important to this team in some way, they interviewed them and talked about the history and some of the big plays throughout the years that the Ravens have been around. The thing that I loved...
I'm surprised they didn't get into Shannon Sharp, though. Because he was involved in two big plays in the playoff push in 2000.
I thought they talked to him at the very beginning of the show. I might be wrong.
See, I can't remember it yet because I saw it the night you told me to watch it.
Right.
And I hate to say this, but I've been so busy I would almost have to watch it again just to think. But if correct me if I'm wrong, if he's on there, my apologies because I've watched it twice, so I should know. You know, especially me being the dire Ravens fan, and I'm surprised I don't remember, but I watched it at 2 a.m, so it's probably why.
Right.
But after I got off work. But besides the point, you're right, man. Yeah. Every player.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Every player that's been important to this team has been on here. If you guys have not seen it, the Ravens have posted it to their website, so definitely check it out before that's gone, before they take it down. It is an hour, so set yourself up, set your laptop up, get some nice speakers, watch it. The thing I loved about the most, the shots, were the very first shots of minicamp. And they said how weird it was because, like, they had to supply their own sweatpants and their own shorts and everything because they didn't have any of it yet. And all of it was that they did have was white and black because they didn't even have team colors yet.
I remember that. That was special because Ray Lewis joked about that when he got drafted. He's like, we don't even have team colors yet. Like, it was kind of funny.
Yeah, so I mean, very fun, very informative special they did, an hour long. Kudos to the Ravens production team. It was very well done. Absolutely loved it. I love that. But Ray Lewis's rap song, I appreciate the message he's trying to send because he's trying to have a good message for young kids out there. It's a lot different than a lot of the hip-hop and rap that you hear nowadays that's a little derogatory towards women and everything like that. But... I don't know if Ray has the singing chops, you know?
Right. And I think it's very – I mean, you're right. What he's doing is great. I mean, he's done a lot of projects. I don't know if you saw this, man, but he've actually put out his own cigar line, which I'm excited because that's one of my guilty pleasures. So he actually did put out his own cigar. I don't know if you know that.
I didn't know that. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, he did. It's pretty cool. And they're cheap. They're only $10, I think $12.50 a cigar.
Oh, nice.
So they're pretty good. And – And you see the box they come in, you know, of course, has his picture and the signature. So I can't wait to buy a box of them. But besides the point, check your local, you know, obviously cigar retailers if they're out yet. I'm not sure if they're out. But you're right. I did hear it today, and I saw a snippet of it. He did this before, if you recall. Years back, he put out that stuff, and you're right. Like, he's trying to do good. He's trying to get in that mainstream, but I think it's a little over the top, and everybody's like, oh, that's surprising because you love Ray Ray. But you got to be honest, got to be truthful. I mean, I don't know what the finished product's going to be. Hey, I might even have it on my iPod or my iTunes just to have it, but I really haven't heard from what I heard. I mean, it's decent, but it's just production-wise, it just doesn't sound too good. I think he could have done better.
Well, you know what? As somebody...
But the book's amazing. I'm already halfway through, and I can't put it down. It's great.
Okay, it's on my Amazon wish list for Christmas. So.
Oh, my God. If you don't get it, I mean, I have like four copies. I'll let you borrow one.
Well, you know what? Actually, I do want to bring this up. I'm glad you're bringing up his book. I'm a little bummed because he didn't do his own audiobook. I was thinking about it, and I was like, oh, you know, I don't have a lot of time to read. I'm always so busy, but I have an hour-long drive to work. I wonder if there's an audiobook version of his book that he reads, you know, he reads out loud, and then I could buy that. And it's just some other dude reading Ray's words. So I'm a little bummed that Ray didn't do that himself, and maybe if he does, I will buy the audio version of him reading his own book. But
that's surprising for how intense he is. And we always joked. I'm like, wow. Or if he did a book reading, because he's so intense. And I mean, he's put out some videos lately that are just like captivating. Like, dude, this dude needs to start reading his own stuff. But like I said, but from reading the book, you can just imagine his words and his demeanor, and you can just imagine it yourself like he's doing it. So it's kind of like, I'm kind of glad he didn't, but it would be rocking if he did. But who knows? It could be next year. I don't know, because, I mean, obviously he asked if he did the whole book in audio. I'm sure that would take a long time. It's like 260 pages, man. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure if he's doing it, he might be in the works for it.
Yeah, and instead of doing rap music or whatever, why don't you just start your own podcast and just put out motivational speeches?
I'm surprised he hasn't. I mean, because all these videos he posts on his Twitter and Facebook and motivational messages, I mean, maybe that's what he's doing now, but I'm surprised he doesn't have a podcast, and we beat him to it.
And if Ray, if you want to start a podcast and need somebody to help you start it, come to the call
because
we will be more than happy to help you get you set up with some mics and everything. We will be more than happy to help you out there. But anyway, so after we've done that, you got your Miami trip coming up. We talked about Ray's song. We talked about the 20th anniversary special. Did we cover everything for this Purple Friday preview?
To the max, my friend.
All right. If you guys want to continue the conversation, if you want to tell us what you thought of the 20th anniversary special, tell us what you think of Ray's music video, his new rap song. Tweet to us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Brandon, they can always tweet to me at ItalianGQ52.
All right, very cool. Make sure you stay connected with us. Go over to Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new episode comes out, you'll be the first to know. And there's always cool articles and photos and videos and whatever we can find. We always post there as well. Make sure you go over to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like Brando Cash Entertainment, and you'll get the latest news about The Call and What the Puck. Also, go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about any of the podcasts that we produce from Brando Cash Entertainment. Now, guys, we do this show for free. You guys know that. Usually you get three shows a week from us, but since it was a bye week, this is your only one this week. But still, it's free. You guys listen, stream, and download it for free. We do this for free. All we ask in return, how about on a Purple Friday, you make it a Follow Friday as well, and you tweet about us and let people know that you're a Ravens fan and that you listen to The Call. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit, anywhere you're social on the web, say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I'm rocking the purple on Purple Friday. I'm listening to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for The Call Purple Friday preview this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you very much, my friend. And Purple Friday preview, it was, it is, and we are back for Ravens football. Here it is, guys. We already know our record. It's 2-6. Don't remind us. But hey, no one's counting us out. Harbaugh and the troops, we know what's at stake. We're marching for the playoffs, and that's right, we're talking playoffs. No, we're not shy about it, are we, around here? And we think we can believe it and believe in our hearts, and Ray Lewis will always preach no weapon, and just believe, we know it. From Orioles games to O's magic to, you know, never counting us out, and we've been in every single football game to this point. 8 games, we're 2-6. We could be 6-2, who knows what the record could be, but don't count us out. the Jaguars are coming in and we're just going to down them. We're just not going to give them a chance. You know what we're going to say? We're not going to take it. We're not going to take it. We're going to win number three. Win number three it is at the bank, Sunday, Baltimore Ravens. Let's fly high to victory.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at baltimoresportsreport.com.